By the Emperor's distant light and the spite of every living thing that refuses to die, brother from the void, and this is Tales from the Void. Tonight, we're boots deep in the rot-choked jungles of Vorpalus Prime, a death world where the air itself feels hostile and the wildlife doesn't just hunt you, it commits to the bit. Our narrator is Sergeant Hale, Astra Militarum scout, moving alone under a camo cloak with a half-charged las gun and a knife he's already too tired to clean. His orders are simple on paper. Find out what happened to Forward Observation Post Sigma and report back. Out here, simple means you'll bleed for every meter. And if the jungle goes quiet, it's already too late. So check your seals, keep your breathing shallow, and don't trust anything that looks still. Let's begin. Another day in paradise. I'm lying prone in the mud under a tangle of razor vine, trying not to breathe too loudly. About 3 meters away, something that looks like a six-legged panther sniffs at the air, searching for me. Its hide is mottled green and black, perfect camouflage in the undergrowth, and its maw drips venom onto the ferns with a hiss. Lovely. If it comes any closer, I'll have to introduce it to the business end of my knife. And I really don't feel like cleaning panther guts off my blade again this morning. I inch forward, millimeter by millimeter, making no more noise than the shifting shadows. Sweat beads on my forehead, and I can feel an insect the size of my thumb crawling down the back of my neck. I'm not sure which is worse right now, the jungle's bugs trying to eat me alive, or this predator that hasn't decided I'm here yet. Emperor's throne, the things I do for the Imperial Guard. Welcome to Vorpalus Prime, a delightful little death world where every living thing is trying its utmost to send me to an early grave. I'm Sergeant Hale, a scout with the 133rd Draken Recon of the Astra Militarum, and I've been trudging through this Emperor-forsaken jungle for Emperor knows how long. Days? Weeks? Time blurs when the canopy's so thick you hardly remember what the sun looks like. Not that I'd want to see it. The sun here can give you third-degree burns in under 10 minutes if you step out from the trees. Everything on this planet is weaponized, even the weather. They say even the Emperor's Angels of Death, the Space Marines, would hesitate to tread on a world like this. The panther beast prowls off after a while, apparently losing interest or catching scent of easier prey. I'm grateful, in my own special way. As much as I'd love a good morning workout wrestling a carnivore, my schedule's a bit full. I have a mission to complete, find out what happened to Forward Observation Post Sigma, and report back. Simple orders on paper. In practice, let's just say straightforward reconnaissance goes straight out the airlock when the jungle itself is trying to murder you. I slowly push myself up from the muck, listening keenly for any sign that the beast might be doubling back. Nothing but the drone of blood flies and the distant screech of Emperor knows what in the canopy. Safe enough for now. I wipe the slime off my camo cloak, which has been mimicking the muddy ground I was pressed against. The fabric shifts, colors sluggishly, trying to match the ferns now. Good cloak, if only it could also give me a hot cup of recaf. I take a moment to run a quick check. Last gun charge? 67%. Knife? Still strapped to my chest, the blade's monomolecular edge still keen. I checked it just an hour ago, after hacking through that thicket of choke vines. Canteen? Half full with water I boiled last night, still has the faint tang of purifier chemicals, but better than sucking moisture off toxic leaves. Nothing will kill you faster out here than being careless about water. The streams look clear, but I wouldn't dip a finger in one. Some parasite or bacteria would probably chew that finger to the bone by the time you say Holy Throne. Ask Trooper Brand, a good soldier who made a bad choice. He drank unfiltered water on day one, and his insides liquefied overnight. I buried what was left of him myself. Lesson learned. With my kit accounted for, I move on, each step careful. The ground is a carpet of rot and growth, centuries of fallen leaves, fungus, and things better left unnamed. It's soft, which is good for muffling footsteps, but also treacherous. I've nearly been swallowed by sinkholes twice since dawn. I've taken to prodding ahead with my machete, slowly, gently, whenever the ground looks too deceptively solid. More than once, the blade has pierced a thin layer of vegetation and found nothing but empty space beneath. The whole damn jungle is layered like that. Life over death, over life. The air is hot and wet enough that I'm basically swimming through it. Every breath tastes like compost and bitter pollen. My EnviroSuit filters are already gummed up with spores. I gave up on breathing through my nose hours ago. Now I just clench a piece of cloth between my teeth as an impromptu filter. It's either that or start coughing, and a cough out here is as good as a dinner bell for something. Out here, a single sneeze might as well be a distress flare. I press onward through a curtain of broad leaves, oozing some kind of sweet sap. Experience screams at me. Don't touch those. Last week, I saw a scout from another unit brush against a similar plant. Within minutes, his skin was covered in blisters where the sap touched, and he was delirious from whatever toxin it carried. He didn't last an hour. We had to perform the Emperor's mercy on him with a La Bolt, an ugly end, but better than letting the jungle digest him alive. So I duck carefully under these leaves, making sure the resin only drips onto my armored shoulder pad, where it sizzles harmlessly off the plasteel. As I carefully place my next step, I freeze in mid-motion. A small, warty shape squats on the log ahead, almost invisible among the fungi and moss. It's a plump, mottled amphibian about the size of my canteen. Two bulbous eyes regard me lazily. A Cat Tashan barking toad, throne of terror of all things. My heart nearly stops. Although it appears benign and even cute in a way, I know better. It's arguably the most toxic creature on this planet, or any planet. If I startle it, even slightly, it will reflexively explode in a cloud of lethal gas, potent enough to melt anything within a kilometer. Power armor and all into slurry, including me. Slowly, ever so slowly, I shift my weight back. The toad gives a low croak, throat sac inflating. My blood turns to ice. Easy, easy. I ease my boot down onto a stable patch of ground, inching away from the creature. It watches me with unblinking eyes. For a horrifying second, it tenses as if about to leap or detonate, and a whine escapes my throat unbidden. But then, with a wet plop, the barking toad hops off the log into the underbrush and disappears. I remain rooted in place, not daring to breathe until I'm sure it's gone. Only then do I let out a shuddering exhale. Emperor, above, that was a close one. I quietly offer a prayer of thanks that I didn't end my mission and life by stepping on a damn frog. Now and then I flick my gaze upward. It's dim as dusk down here on the jungle floor, but shafts of sickly light spear through cracks in the canopy. In one of those shafts, about 20 meters up, I see motion, something slithering across a branch, long and sinuous. Could be just a vine stirred by the wet breeze. Except there is no breeze. I pause, one foot lifted mid-step, and let my eyes adjust. There, that vine has scales, coiling slowly around the trunk. A blackback viper, a big one at that, its body as thick as my thigh. It's likely digesting a meal. Emperor knows, perhaps digesting one of ours. I had a comrade, Lerm, vanish 2 days ago. Only thing we found was his boot. The rest? could be in that snake's belly right now. I give that tree a wide berth. Blackback vipers can strike like lightning and crush a man to pulp in seconds. I'm not eager to become a serpent's mid-morning snack. Stepping over a mossy log, checking first that it isn't actually a camouflaged animal, I note my heading. The compass is nearly useless here. Something about the ore in the ground or magnetic anomalies sends it spinning like a drunk grok's. Instead, I navigate by landmarks and dead reckoning. There's a river to the east I glimpsed from the canopy yesterday. The outpost lies just north of where that river cuts into a limestone cliff known as the Teeth. If I keep the faint light of the rising sun on my right when it occasionally peeks through, I should be going roughly northwest. Not that you'll ever see me charting this place with a map and compass like it's some training exercise on a temperate world. No, this is more like creeping through an enemy fortress. Except the enemy is the entire ecosystem. The Departamento Munitorum's primer on jungle warfare? Utterly inadequate here. There's a line in it that always makes me laugh. Maintain awareness. The jungle is neutral. Neutral, my ass. Whoever wrote that never set foot on a death world. This jungle isn't neutral. It's actively homicidal. Case in point, as I skirt a pool of stagnant water, I notice the plants around its edges have a weird waxy sheen on their leaves. Ah, blood lotus plants. Beautiful big red flowers like something out of a horticulture picked. Except they exude a narcotic fragrance that can knock a man out cold in seconds if he gets too close. Then, well, the roots like to dig into the unlucky sod and drain him dry. Thankfully, I caught a whiff from afar and recognized it in time. It smells a bit like overripe fruit laced with copper. I hold my breath and give that pool a very wide pass. One of the poor fools from 2nd Platoon wandered near some of those last month. He didn't notice until he was stumbling and laughing at nothing, high on the pollen. We dragged him out, but he was never quite right after, kept mumbling about whispering vines until he swallowed his own gun barrel 2 nights later. This planet has a way of getting into your head if you let it. I check my Auspex scanner briefly, a small handheld device that pings for life signs. It's almost useless in a place this teeming with life. The screen is a kaleidoscope of blips and static. Still, I occasionally use it to see if any really large signatures pop up ahead, something bigger than a man moving fast. Right now, it shows nothing immediately around me larger than a tree rat, which is both good and bad. Good that no obvious pack of predators is about to pounce. Bad because it also means I'm effectively blind beyond the 10 meters I can actually see in this gloom. Instead, I rely on the oldest tool, my ears. The jungle has a language, one you learn if you want to survive. Birds, or what passes for birds here, chirp and hoot in a constant cacophony. Insects trill and buzz, the leaves rustle with small critters. When those sounds stop, even for a moment, you grip your weapon tight and scan the shadows. Because something bigger is on the move. That silence is your only warning before you're impaled on a claw or swallowed whole. Right now, the chatter is continuous. That's good. It means I'm the scariest thing in my patch of woods at the moment, or at least nothing scarier is nearby. If the jungle falls silent, then I'd better be a ghost. I push on, ducking under a low branch studded with spiky purple thorns. My armor's pauldron scrapes it, knocking a few thorns loose. They fall and stick into the ground with an audible thunk. Those things are as thick as dagger blades. Note to self, don't go grabbing any convenient branches for support without checking them first. Getting skewered by a tree would be a rather embarrassing way to go. About midday, the jungle's dappled light grows a fraction brighter, meaning the canopy overhead thins in this area. Not a good sign. Open ground attracts certain predators. I'm traversing a sloped stretch of terrain where massive fallen trees crisscross like bridges. As I climb over one slick trunk, I catch a whiff of something on the air, a musky, gamey odor mixed with rot. My spine stiffens. I know that smell. Predators have marked this place. A low growl reverberates from the shadows to my left, then another answers from the right. I slowly unsling my last gun, heart thumping. From behind a fern frond creeps a lithe shape, furred, with a long snout and quills running down its back. It looks vaguely like a mottled wolf-sized lizard with porcupine spines. One of the jungle's pack hunters, sometimes called spine hounds by the crews, its lips peel back to reveal rows of needle teeth, and it snarls, yellow eyes fixed on me. In response, two more emerge from the underbrush on either side, bracketing me. Clever girls. I don't have time for this. The lead spine hound tenses, ready to pounce, quills bristling. In one fluid motion, I raise my last gun and fire a quick burst. The sharp crack-crack of the shots splits the humid air. The lead creature takes a hit to the shoulder and yelps, darting back. The others scatter momentarily at the unexpected flash and heat. I seize that moment to move. I leap off the log and dash downslope, weaving between trees. High-pitched barks echo behind me. Wounded or not, the pack is in pursuit. I crash through foliage, boots skidding on loam. I don't dare a full sprint lest I careen into something worse. Instead, I duck under vines and sidestep around trunks in a desperate bid to shake them. A glance over my shoulder. Emperor's mercy. They're fast. I glimpse their sleek forms bounding over roots, jumping through the green like phantoms. The wounded one lags, but the other two are closing in, flanking me like they've done this 100 times. They probably have. My mind races, searching my mental map of this area. There, a memory of a bog or sinkhole not far ahead. I remember the sour stink of sulfur and a ground that looked solid, but wasn't. If I can lure them there, I veer toward where I think that hazard lies, snapping branches behind me intentionally to keep the beasts on my trail. One of them, the largest, lunges suddenly, too close. I whirl and swing my last gun like a club on pure instinct. The butt connects with the creature's snout mid-leap with a dull crunch. It yelps and tumbles aside, but momentum and my own swing send me off balance. I stagger and nearly topple into a curtain of hanging vines. The third spine hound barrels into me at that instant, knocking me through the draping greenery. We slam to the ground, the beast snarling on top of me. Slavering jaws snap inches from my face. I strain my arms against its throat, keeping those fangs at bay. Its hot saliva drips onto my visor. It's heavier than it looks, muscles coiled steel under hide. My knife. Where is my knife? My fingers claw at my belt. The creature's hind claws rake my thigh, finding a weak spot in my fatigues. Pain lances up my leg. I grit my teeth. Just as its jaws inch closer to my throat, a deep hiss sounds from below us. The spine hound's weight suddenly shifts, its hind legs kicking frantically. We are sinking. The ground here isn't ground at all. It's a sulfuric bog covered in moss, now giving way under our combined weight. The stench confirms it, a sinkhole of putrid, bubbling mud. I let go and roll aside as the spine hound scrambles, but it's already waist deep and sinking fast. It howls, a panicked, eerie cry. I don't stick around to help. Survival first. The one I clubbed is limping at the edge of the clearing, wary now, and the wounded leader circles wide, growling but not advancing into the vine-shrouded bog. I wade a few steps back onto firmer ground. Each movement agony in my gashed thigh. The two surviving spine hounds lock eyes with me. I raise my last gun and fire a shot into the ground between us. The flash and sizzle make them flinch. They've seen enough. With a series of guttural barks, they retreat into the jungle the way they came, perhaps deciding I am not worth the cost. Breathing hard, I haul myself onto a relatively solid hummock. The bog belches, the third spine hound is gone, only ripples and bubbles marking its grave. My hands are shaking. That was almost the end of me. A quick check, blood seeps from the gouges in my thigh, but nothing immediately fatal. I slap a field bandage on it, hissing as the antiseptic foam does its work. I take stock of my battered body. New blood seeps through that bandage on my thigh, joining the constellation of scars and scabs I already carry. There's a long-healed burn mark on my left arm from an acid-spitting fungus I encountered weeks ago, a reminder of when I got too curious about a glowing spore sac. A patch of shiny pink skin on my right flank is from last month, when a lashworm whipped me and took a chunk of flesh. The tip of my left pinky finger? Missing since a razor bat decided to make a snack of it on Feralis years back. I'm a walking record of close calls and narrow escapes, and if I survive today, no doubt I'll earn a few more marks to add to the collection. So the score, one predator dead, two driven off, and me, exhausted and bleeding again, all for crossing into their hunting ground. I can't even fault the beasts. They're just doing what nature made them to do. Same as me. I limp onward, knowing I need to find a safe spot to patch up and rest soon. I've had enough excitement for one midday. After another hour of trudging, though it feels like 10, I find a small clearing where shafts of weak daylight illuminate a cluster of boulders. A decent place to rest for a moment and take stock. I carefully scan the perimeter. No movement bigger than a rodent, no sudden quiet, no obvious carnivorous plants. I know what to look for. No suspicious noose-like vines dangling, no overly inviting carpet of flowers, no mounds of bones. As safe as it's going to get, I suppose. I settle with my back against a warm rock. Immediately, I feel something squirm under me and jolt upright, biting back a curse. I whip around to see a fat, pale grub the length of my hand where I almost sat. It's writhing in the dirt, as startled as I am. With a grimace, I stomp it under my boot. It pops with a wet crunch, oozing yellow goo. The smell is, well, categorize it under odors I will never scrub out of my armor. At least it wasn't something more dangerous. There are worms here that will try to burrow into your flesh if you give them the chance. I scrape my boot on the ground and sit back down, more carefully this time, ensuring no more surprise critters lurk beneath me. From a pouch, I pull a ration bar. It's mostly protein, compressed into a hard brick that smells like machine oil and tastes only marginally better. The Munitorum calls it nutrient supplement. I call it corpse starch special. Rumor is these things are partly made from recycled. Let's not dwell on that. Grim as it is, it's calories. I gnaw on the bar while keeping my eyes scanning the clearing. Every part of my body aches. Not a single patch of skin isn't scratched, bruised, or bitten by something. I've got an itchy rash on my left arm where some flying parasite decided to sample me through a tear in my sleeve. My right ankle has leech bites, luckily not the kind that lay eggs. I keep checking to be sure. Some species around here will turn your blood to jelly if you don't burn them off quick. The medkit's anti-venom vials have kept me alive so far, but I'm running low on a few. If I don't find a resupply at Sigma, I'll have to start improvising or just tough it out. The guard trains you to endure a lot, but this place strains even Acadian's endurance, let alone mine. And for the record, I'm not from Kataken. I'm from a different hellhole of a world, a place whose name hardly matters because if you're not from there, you'll never have heard of it. Death World born and bred, which is probably the only reason I'm still alive out here. This madness is in my blood. Lucky me, I wasn't exaggerating about it being in my blood. On my home world, Feralis IV, They say a child learns to shoot before they can speak. In my case, that's true. I got my first stub pistol on my 5th birthday. My earliest memories aren't picture books and toys, but the sound of alert sirens when a wild razor beast broke through the perimeter fence of our hab block, or the smell of antiseptic as the medici treated my ma's injuries from venom thorn vines. By the Emperor's grace, those of us born to death worlds adapt, or we die young. I remember at 12 years old, I spent 3 days and nights alone in the toxic swamps as a rite of passage for my clan. Armed with only a single knife and a canteen, I had to bring back the head of a swamp stalker, a reptile that could swallow a man whole. I still recall the terror and thrill of crouching in fetid water up to my neck, waiting hours until the beast slithered close enough. I stabbed it right through the eye when it lunged, nearly got dragged under as it thrashed, but I held on, finished the job, walked 10 kilometers back with that severed head slung over my shoulder. I was bleeding, exhausted, half-starved, but I was alive. After that, the Imperial Guard seemed almost a logical next step. I've served alongside Catacan jungle fighters who joked that no world could be harsher than their home. Well, I'd like to see their faces after a week on Vorpalus Prime. Surviving that hellish childhood taught me a simple truth. On a death world, every day you're not dead is a victory. It might not be pretty, you might be covered in scars and bug bites, and your best friend might have been eaten last week, but you're still breathing, and that's what counts. I nearly drift off for a minute, but the jungle isn't about to grant me that luxury. A high-pitched whine begins to build in the distance, like an approaching siren. I crack open one eye, instantly on guard. That sound. Oh, Feth, I know that sound. I hastily grab my camo hood and yank it over my head just as the first of the swarm hits. A cloud of catacan bloodflies bursts into the clearing, drawn by the scent of sweat and the crumbs of my ration. Each insect is the size of a man's thumb, with iridescent wings and a needle-like proboscis that can punch through flak armor joints. The swarm moves like a living fog. Dozens, no, hundreds of them, all whining in hungry harmony. I swat one that lands on my arm, crushing it instinctively, but three more take its place. One dive bombs straight for my face. I feel it trying to wiggle past the cloth over my mouth. Its proboscis pricks through the fabric, and I feel a stab of pain on my cheek. Snarling, I rip the creature away and smash it against the rock. A smear of my blood mixes with its greenish innards on my glove. The whine grows to a maddening pitch. More are circling me. I can't stay here. Ignoring the protests of my tired legs, I heave myself up and start moving, waving my las gun in front of me to ward off the thickest clumps of flies. A few manage to latch onto my back where my cloak drapes. I feel little pincers trying to chew through. Time for desperate measures. With my free hand, I snatch a smoke grenade from my belt, thumb the igniter, and toss it at my feet. It bursts with a pop, spewing a billowing cloud of gray chemical smoke. I hold my breath and crouch low. The effect is immediate. The blood flies, sensitive to toxins in the air, scatter in confusion. The swarm's cohesion breaks. Dozens veer off, buzzing angrily as they retreat from the acrid fumes. Coughing, eyes watering, I take the opportunity to barge out of the clearing. In a minute or two, the smoke dissipates and the whine fades as the blood flies swirl off to find easier prey. I examine my face in a shard of broken mirror from my kit. One of the little monsters left a neat puncture under my right eye that's already swelling. Could be worse. At least I didn't let them inject their eggs. I've seen what happens when blood fly larvae hatch under a man's skin. It's not pretty. So much for a peaceful rest. I gather my gear, muttering a string of curses that would make a commissar blanch.
The jungle clearly doesn't intend to let me sit idle. Resigned, I decide I might as well push on. I'll sleep when I'm dead, as the saying goes. My respite is cut short anyway by a sudden change in the background chorus. The incessant drone of insects and calls of who knows what dips for a heartbeat as if the whole jungle sucked in a breath. I snap my eyes open, instantly alert. Hand on las gun, safety already off, I scan the tree line, every nerve on a knife edge. Something's off. Then I feel it as much as hear it. A faint rumble through the ground, followed by a distant boom that echoes through the humid air. It sounds like it's coming from the direction of Sigma. Could be thunder. This place brews storms like a cauldron. But my gut says otherwise. Two more thumps follow, not thunder. Too sharp, too mechanical. Emperor's teeth, that sounds like munitions. Maybe a demolition charge or a vehicle ammo cook-off. Could the outpost still be fighting? Or did they trigger some traps? Either way, it's my cue to move. I stuff the ration wrapper back in my pouch. No trace left behind. One, because stealth. Two, because some creatures can sniff out even a hint of our rations, and I'd rather not ring the dinner bell. I rise, muscles protesting, and head out at a quickened pace toward the noise. Caution still, but urgency driving me now. If someone at Sigma is still alive and fighting, they won't last long without help. As I travel, the terrain begins to slope upward. The ridge is near. The vegetation changes subtly, more twisted roots underfoot, making the ground uneven. Fewer towering canopy trees and more of those spiny thickets that love to grab at cloth and skin. I'm panting from exertion and stress, shoulder throbbing from the earlier graze, but I push on. Soon I smell it, burning fuel and charred biomass, the acrid scent of something that was lit on fire. The jungle's own stink is heavy, but my nose can pick out the tang of combustion. Definitely a fight. I slow my approach, moving from cover to cover with deliberate silence. Ahead, through tangles of lichen and broadleaf, I glimpse unnatural shapes, angular lines, a bit of metal reflecting light. Man-made structures. I must be within 50 meters of Outpost Sigma. I drop to a crouch and advance, using the ferns and underbrush as cover. Up ahead, through the natural lattice of branches, I catch sight of something man-made. A fragment of plasteel plating propped against a rock. Could be part of a prefabricated hut or a defensive wall. It's right where the outpost should be. I'm within maybe 100 meters now, I'd guess. What I see churns my gut. The small clearing by the base of the ridge is a scene of devastation. The vox mast that once stood tall is toppled, leaning against a cluster of boulders at a broken angle. The prefabricated hab shelter that housed the team is torn open like an old can from one side, blackened with soot. Scorched ground and a few small craters mar the clearing. Those booms I heard were likely grenades or satchel charges. And bodies. Emperor. I count two bodies from here, maybe more obscured, clad in the same jungle camo I wear. I swallow hard. From this distance, their conditions are clear. One is slumped against a sandbag wall, a dark red mass where her throat and chest used to be. The other lies near the river's edge, face down in the mud. Horrifically, only his upper half is present. The rest of him has been dragged off into the undergrowth. A slick trail of blood and entrails leads from his torn midsection toward the tree line. I scan around for any sign of movement. The uneasy feeling hasn't left me. If this was an animal attack, they'd usually drag off prey to eat, or we'd see tracks of a pack. If it was those panther things, say, they'd have mauled and possibly carried off bodies. But these bodies are here, left lying. Some predators do that if scared off. But what scares those top predators? Possibly gunfire or a bigger predator. or something unnatural. I edge closer, one slow step at a time, listening. And then I finally hear it, a faint clicking or chittering sound coming from somewhere in the wreckage of the outpost. It's so soft I almost missed it under the rain and distant thunder. It's not a sound I recognize from any animal I've encountered on this planet so far. Not a panther, not those ape lizards, not even the insects. My blood runs a few degrees colder. Could it be, Emperor forbid, a Xenos? A sentient one, I mean. We haven't seen signs of orcs or anything, and orcs would be loud and obvious, Eldar. Doubtful they'd bother with this hellhole. Then what? Tyranids. The word slithers through my mind uninvited. There were rumors whispered among the men after a couple of particularly gruesome night attacks that maybe some Tyranid creatures were loose in this jungle. Command dismissed it as superstition. No confirmed Hive fleet activity in this sector, they'd said. But sometimes I found remains that didn't match any animal we know here, like chitinous fragments or weird acidic burns. I didn't report those, didn't see the point in causing panic without proof. But right now I'm thinking about it real hard. Tyranids are extragalactic bioweapons, living killing machines that adapt to any environment. Genes stealers, hormagaunts, lictors, each designed for specific roles. A jungle death world would be a perfect lurking spot for a lictor, a stealth killer. But Emperor, those are nightmare fuel, nearly invisible, lightning fast, claws that can cut a man in half. I shiver, and not from the rain. The clicking sound comes again, and I realize with dawning horror that it's coming from right behind me. I spin around, rifle raised, finger on trigger. For a split second, I see it. Something tall, spindly, and impossibly close, looming from behind a broad tree not 5 paces from where I crouch. I only catch details in a blur. Pale, slick carapace that blends with the mottled shadows, a cluster of tentacle-like feelers writhing where a mouth should be. And those eyes, multiple black, glossy eyes, set into a skull-like head, throne of terror. I fire on instinct. A crimson last bolt lances out, point-blank, catching the figure in what I think is the torso. It screeches, a shrill, piercing sound that cuts through the humid air like a razor. The thing reels back, partially visible now as the camouflaging skin flickers from the sudden pain. It's a lictor. It has to be. Emperor, protect me. In the next heartbeat, it lunges at me with astonishing speed. I throw myself to the side, and its scythe-like claw rips through the space I occupied a second ago, shearing straight through the bushes. Leaves and twigs explode around me. I feel a hot line of pain along my left arm. It must have grazed me, because my bicep is suddenly burning. I scramble behind the trunk of the nearest large tree for cover. My mind races. That single glancing hit. I dread to think what a direct one will do. The creature hisses, and I hear it skitter, repositioning. It's fast, but so far, seemingly cautious. Maybe my shot hurt it more than I thought. The jungle has gone completely silent now. Even the insects know death incarnate is among them. Rain patters on leaves, the only sound besides my own ragged breathing and the blood thumping in my ears. I risk a peek around the trunk. Nothing. Then a distortion, a ripple in the air about 10 feet away as the lictor shifts its camouflage. I fire again, sweeping the last gun in full auto this time to saturate the area. Red bolts chew up ferns and smash into a tree trunk. One bolt briefly illuminates the outline of the thing as it leaps sideways, avoiding most of the shots. Another alien shriek, but fainter. Maybe I winged it? Suddenly, agony blossoms in my back. I'm jerked backward, feet leaving the ground, as something sharp and barbed punches clean through my flak armor like it was wet paper. I taste iron as the wind is knocked out of me. Before I realize it, I'm being hoisted up. The damn lictor has impaled me on one of its talons from behind. Time slows in the adrenaline haze. Pain, hot and icy at once, radiates from where I'm skewered just below my right shoulder. My last gun tumbles from my hands as I flail. The monster chitters and I can smell its fetid breath. Stinks like rotten meat and acid. I twist, a reflex more than anything, and that likely prevents the claw from going straight through my chest. Instead, it tears out sideways, ripping a chunk of flesh from my shoulder. White-hot pain. I scream, or maybe just gasp. Not sure, my ears are ringing. I crash to the ground, slick with mud and my blood. My right arm is numb, likely severed nerves. The last gun lies in the mud a meter away, but I can't feel my arm to reach for it on that side. The lictor steps into view, partially decloaked, a horrid, chitinous silhouette towering over me, one mantis-like claw smeared red. Those feeder tendrils writhe as if sensing the blood in the air, eager to feed. This is it. I'm dead. After everything, I'm about to become jungle mulch like the rest of them. Some part of me is in sheer terror, another in raw fury at the unfairness. But a small voice, maybe my own, maybe my old drill sergeant, barks in my head, "You're not done yet, damn it!" My left hand is still working, and in it, I still clutch my knife. A Katakan pattern fang, 18 inches of mono-edged steel. Automatic, without thinking, I lash out with it as the lictor lunges down at me. The blade meets its mark, jamming right into one of the creature's bulbous black eyes with a sickening schlork. The lictor rears back, a spray of clear, viscous fluid. Its blood? Ichor? Spurting from the ruined eye socket, splattering my face and chest. It emits a bone-chilling shriek that sets my teeth on edge. Its other claw comes sweeping reflexively. I roll, more like flop, to one side in the mud as the massive blade arm scythes down where I was, gouging into the ground. I can't let it recover or I'll never get another chance. Ignoring pain, I force myself up to one knee. With my good arm, I snatch a grenade from my belt, a frag grenade, standard issue. Bless you, Munitorum. With trembling fingers, I hit the activation stud and lob it toward the thrashing lictor. It's only about 4 meters away, thrashing in pain, but already orienting back towards me, tendrils flailing. Emperor, let my aim be true. I dive behind a fallen log, the closest cover I can find, and a second later an ear-splitting boom and flash rips through the clearing. Shrapnel zings overhead. The shockwave deafens me momentarily. I lift my head, ears ringing, rain and dirt falling around. Through the clearing smoke, I see the lictor. The frag went off almost under it. One of its arms is completely gone, blown off at the shoulder joint. Its torso carapace is cracked, oozing that same clear fluid. It lies in a heap, twitching, trying to rise, but clearly hobbled. I struggle to my feet, nearly slipping. My right arm hangs limp, but I grip my knife in the left. Adrenaline is dulling the pain of my wounds. With a wordless yell, maybe fear, maybe rage, I charge the thing. If it gets up again, I'm finished. I have to end it now. It sees me, one remaining eye fixating, and strikes with its only claw. Even injured, it's fast. I barely manage to twist aside the tip of the claw, slicing across my flank instead of impaling me. It still opens a burning gash across my ribs, but I don't stop. I barrel into the creature, shoulder first with my good side. It's like slamming into a spiked wall. Its carapace has ridges that cut into me, but I topple it back to the ground. With a snarl, I stab down at its head, once, twice, three times. The first strike skitters off a hard plate on its skull, but the second finds softer flesh at the base of its head, and the third plunges into that ruined eye socket again, even deeper. It thrashes, almost throwing me off. Its claw rakes my thigh, ripping a line through cloth and flesh. I bite down a scream and keep stabbing like a man possessed. "Die, you Xeno bastard! Die!" I hear myself roaring. Finally, with a shuddering spasm, the lictor goes still. I remain on top of it for a moment, panting raggedly. My vision swims. I realize I'm basically straddling a corpse. Its dark blood and my red blood mix in mud beneath us, washed by the persistent drizzle. It's dead. It's dead. Throne, I killed it. A wet laugh bubbles out of me, half delirious, half triumphant. It quickly turns into a cough as the pain stakes its claim now that the adrenaline is ebbing. I roll off the carcass and onto my back, staring up at the gray-green sky beyond the canopy. Fat droplets of water hit my face. I just lie there, breathing, each inhale a struggle. My back wound probably means a punctured lung, who knows. I think of the men of Post-Sigma. The thing I just killed, likely not alone. Lictors often hunt solitary, but where there's a lictor, other Tyranid Vanguard organisms could be near. Perhaps Gaunts, Genes, Steelers, Emperor. If a full Hive fleet is inbound, we have a real problem. But maybe it's localized, a dormant Tyranid creature left from an old scouting tendril now awakened. Either way, my duty remains the same, report and survive until extraction. I haul myself up into a sitting position with a groan. My right arm is still useless. Blood is soaking my fatigues on the right side and thigh. I tear a piece of my sleeve off and press it to the shoulder wound. The bleeding is sluggish, could be worse. The thigh cut is nastier, but not spurting. Probably not an artery. I'll live. For now. The corpses of my fellow guardsmen deserve attention, but first I have to be sure nothing else is looming. I scan around, last gun reacquired in my left hand. No sign of movement. The jungle is still eerily silent except for the rain. Perhaps the grenade and the lictor's death cry scared everything away for the moment. I limp to the nearest fallen soldier, the woman propped against the sandbags. Up close, it's worse. Her chest is laid open, ribs splintered. Her eyes are glazed, rain dripping off her slack face. Emperor, she looks young, maybe 20. "I'm sorry," I murmur, and gently close her staring eyes. Emperor, receive her soul. The one in the mud is half gone, literally. Only his upper body remains, the rest a smeared trail of gore toward the jungle. I don't even find his tags, presumably ripped off with his lower half. There's nothing I can do for him but ensure he isn't completely lost. I'll make note of whatever identifier on his tatters of uniform. In the shattered hab, I find two more bodies, one under the console, one by the door, both savaged similarly. No survivors here. However, the Vox unit is surprisingly intact on one side of the hut, though powered down. A quick check. Yes, a cable was yanked out, but I can fix that. If I can rig a power source, maybe I can get a signal out. Before I do, something catches my eye amid the wreckage. I spot Sergeant Olin's datapad half buried under a fallen shelf. Snatching it up, I see the screen is cracked, but perhaps still readable. Might as well gather what intel I can. I tap to wake it, and to my surprise, it flickers on, already open to a journal entry. Most of it is technical logs and daily reports, but the last entries catch my eye. Day 34, 1800. Harge says he saw something moving in the trees during patrol. Could be just another camo beast, but the way he described it. "Tall and spindly," he said. "I've ordered double watches." Day 35, 7 o'clock. We found tracks around the perimeter, three-toed, deep. Not from any known fauna here. Starting to think Harge wasn't seeing things. I've reported this to command, but comms are spotty. We'll set some traps, just in case. Day 35, 2045. Something triggered the southwest trip flare, but when we checked, nothing. Animals have gone quiet tonight. Team is on edge. Olin out. Day 36, 210. Emperor, preserve us. It's picking us off. Hodge went out to relieve himself. We heard a short scream. Found nothing but his rifle left. An hour later, Layson was gone too. Dragged out of his bunk while we were searching for Hodge. We're down to three of us now. I don't know what it is. It strikes fast and vanishes. Camouflaged? Auspex is useless. It doesn't show on thermal either. I've mustered what's left of the team inside the hab. We've barricaded the doors and set two melter charges outside. If it comes, we'll give it a proper welcome. The final log ends abruptly. There's dried blood across the datapad screen. I don't need to imagine what happened next. It played out right here. The melter charges must have been the explosions I heard, possibly wounding the creature, but clearly not enough. I set the datapad aside, jaw clenched. The Sigma team knew their killer was something beyond the usual predators, but help didn't reach them in time. At least their suspicions give me confirmation. A camouflaged Xeno, likely Tyranid from the description. A lictor, no doubt about it. Armed with that certainty, I'm both terrified and oddly focused. If it's wounded from their traps, I might have had a better chance than I'd thought. No time to linger. I limp back to the Vox caster inside the ruined hab. The machine spirit within is flickering, an amber light indicating standby. I fish a fresh power cell from a dead trooper's pack and slot it in. With a crackle, the long-range Vox comes alive. The frequency knob is damaged, but it's still set to Sigma's channel to reach our main base. I take a deep breath, wincing at the ache in my ribs, and key the transmit rune. Outpost Sigma, this is Scout Sergeant Hale. Do you read? Over. My voice comes out low and rough. Only static answers. Figures. I switch tactics. Any Imperial station, this is Hale, 133rd Draken Recon. Mission update. Outpost Sigma has been overrun. Repeat. Sigma team is down. Engaged with Tyranid life form. Likely Lictor class, encountered and neutralized. I glance at the twitching carcass of the Lictor outside, just to be sure it's still there and still dead. It is, thank the throne. There's a long pause, just static and my own heartbeat. I think for a moment the Vox might be too weak. Then a crackle and a voice. Sergeant Hale, say again. Did you say Tyranid? My heart lifts at the response, faint but there. The signal is weak but readable. Affirmative, I reply, my breath rasping. One Lictor eliminated by my hand. I allow myself a hint of grim pride, even though I'm half dead doing it. The voice on the other end sounds like Lieutenant Barros, curses in low Gothic. Understood, Sergeant? Any survivors from Sigma? I look around at the slain. Negative, all dead. I try not to let the bitterness seep into my tone, but I'm not entirely successful. He acknowledges quietly. Understood. Good work, soldier. We are dispatching a retrieval team to your coordinates. ETA, 30 minutes. Hold tight. A retrieval team. Emperor be praised. I slump against the wall, careful not to jostle my wounds too much. 30 minutes might as well be forever out here. But it's hope. Copy that, I manage. I'll be here. Mind sending a medic with that team? I'm a bit torn up. Barros actually lets out a dry chuckle. Hang in there, Hale. You've faced worse, I'm sure. I smirk at that, despite everything. Yes, sir, I say, signing off. With the Vox quiet, I let myself properly rest for the first time since dawn. I slide down to sit on the floor of the shack, among the wreckage. Rain splatters on the shattered roof and runs in rivulets across the floor. The pain from my wounds is bad, but I've had worse. Or at least, that's what I tell myself. It hits me fully now. I just killed a Lictor. alone, throne of terror. A laugh bubbles up, half delirious, and I stifle it. It comes out as a choked sob instead. Might be the stress leaving my body or the aftershock of survival. No time for that. I have to finish the mission. Sigma team is gone, but I need to get whatever data I can and prepare for evac. I gather up the sergeant's data pad, valuable evidence, and with effort drag myself back outside. The rain is coming down steadier now, hissing through the leaves. As I stagger into the clearing, the water begins to douse the small fires and wash the blood into pink rivulets in the mud. The scene is somber. I feel like I'm walking through a grave. I approach the bodies of my fellow guardsmen. They deserve better than to rot here. With shaking hands, I retrieve what identification I can. Dog tags, mostly. Two from the pair in the hab, one from the girl by the sandbags. The trooper by the river, sadly, I can't even find his tags, but I make a mental note of his facial features and remnants of uniform insignia for the record. I whisper a quick litany of the lost under my breath, altering it for the circumstance. Emperor, watch over these brave souls. They died in darkness that your light might one day shine here. It's not the full rite, but it'll do. I'd give them a proper imperial blessing if I had time, but the Emperor will understand. This whole world is a shrine to sacrifice. Thunder rumbles in the distance, real this time. The storm is picking up. Figures, the moment we call a Valkyrie, the weather turns foul. I glance up at the canopy. It's dark. Twilight gloom under black clouds and thrashing treetops. Pockets of swirling fog gather near the ground as temperature shifts with the rain. Lightning flickers, and for a second the whole clearing is stark white. In that flash, I catch a silhouette at the clearing's edge and whirl, weapon ready. But it's just a gnarled tree stump and some ferns. Shadows playing tricks on me. I exhale slowly. Nerves on a hair trigger. After what feels like an eternity, but is likely only 20 minutes, I hear a new sound beneath the rain, the distant whine of turbines. The blessed Valkyrie. It grows louder, and I see branches high above, shaking as something large approaches overhead. They can't land here. The clearing is too small and uneven. But they can hover and winch, perhaps. I activate a flare, a real one this time, red, and toss it out into the open. It sputters to life, casting crimson light and smoke upwards, a beacon through the canopy gap. The Valkyrie roars into view, slowing to a hover just above the trees. Its downwash blasts the foliage, flattening ferns and whipping the trees into a frenzy. Broken leaves and rain whip around me. The side hatch opens and a spotlight beam spears down, illuminating me in harsh white. I shield my eyes with my good hand. A crewman with a harness is visible, signaling. They lower a winch cable with a basket platform on the end, probably expecting wounded or bodies. Two men armed with heavy bolters scan the perimeter from the open hatch, just in case something tries to interfere. Good men. I drag myself and my collected tags onto the platform and give the crewman a thumbs up. We ascend, swaying slightly. As I rise above the treetops, I get one last panoramic view of that accursed clearing. Small fires smoldering, giant fronds bent low from the Valk's turbulence, the enormous corpse of the lictor half visible near the tree line like some grotesque trophy. We break through the canopy and the platform bumps against the Valkyrie's hull. Strong arms grab me and haul me inside. The noise of the engines is tremendous, but I manage a thanks and a nod as they strap me in on a bench. A medic immediately presses gauze to my still bleeding side and starts administering aid. As the winch brings up the bodies of the Sigma team one by one in wrapped tarp bundles, I stare out the hatch at the receding jungle. The Valkyrie gains altitude, and through sheets of rain I see a vast carpet of green stretching to the horizon, only broken by wisps of fog and the river gleaming dull gray. Somewhere out there, more nightmares likely lurk, but for now they look almost peaceful from up here. The medic tries to get me to lie back, but I strain to catch a glimpse of something far off, a part of the sky where the clouds seem to be swirling unnaturally. Probably just the storm. But for a moment I almost think I see shapes in the upper atmosphere, dark specks that aren't clouds drifting, spores, dropships. My mind could be playing tricks courtesy of exhaustion and pain. I blink and it's gone behind the tree line. Was it even there? My heart rate spikes. Could be just a storm cloud or one of our other flyers. But I file that sight away to mention in my report, just in case. We reach the extraction point altitude and the Valkyrie levels off, speeding back towards our base. A trooper offers me a canteen of actual clean water. I drink, savoring the lack of algae or blood taste. Emperor, it's the little things. One of the retrieval team troopers gives me a thumbs up. Heard you had quite a hunt down there, Sarge, he shouts over the engine roar. I manage a weak grin and shout back, they hunted me, I hunted them. Usual routine. That draws a laugh from the two door gunners listening. Good, they don't seem to grasp just how close it was. Or maybe they do, and that's just the guard's way of coping. A joke in the face of horror. As I close my eyes, I feel the tension uncoiling just a little. Safe, for now. The medic leans over to inject something into my arm, probably something to keep me from bleeding out or screaming in pain. A blessed numbness washes over me. I allow myself to finally relax. The hum of the Valkyrie's engines is oddly soothing after the incessant noise of the jungle. In my mind, I see the endless green of the jungle and the myriad eyes within it. I have no doubt it'll be there waiting when I return. This death world doesn't give up its claim so easily. Somewhere between wakefulness and unconsciousness, I realize I'm still clutching the blood-slick dog tags of the fallen in my left hand. My grip loosens and the medic gently pries them away to clean and return to me later. I mumble something about making sure they get home and he nods. We eventually touch down at base and I'm whisked off to the medic-y tent. Voices swirl, someone congratulating me, someone else cursing at the state of my wounds. I just nod or shake my head as needed, everything a blur. Within minutes, I'm on a cot and a Sister of Mercy is administering a potent anesthetic. As I drift off completely, one thought lingers, clear and defiantly triumphant. I'm still breathing. On a death world, that's a victory. I'm told I spent 2 days unconscious in the field hospital after that mission. They patched me up, again. And before I could even enjoy a full meal, new orders were in. My report, combined with sensorium scans, confirmed the worst. The creature I killed was indeed a Tyranid lictor, a vanguard organism. And where there's one Tyranid, more almost always follow. Within a week of the Outpost Sigma incident, odd spore-like seeds rained down in remote parts of the jungle. Our tech priests and biologists warned they could be Tyranid biopods. The colonel didn't wait to find out. He tightened patrols and called for reinforcements. An inquisitor of the Ordo Xenos even arrived in orbit to assess the threat. It's above my pay grade to know what they discussed, but Scuttlebutt says an exterminatus, the complete destruction of Vorpalis Prime, was considered. So far, it hasn't come to that. So far. As for me, after a few days' recuperation, I was back in the fight. They don't let a Death World scout sit idle for long, not when his skills are needed. Now I find myself leading reconnaissance patrols deeper into the interior, seeking any sign of further Tyranid presence. Vorpalis Prime hasn't calmed one bit. If anything, the jungle is even more agitated, as if sensing the alien infection in its midst. Every foray means new perils. Yesterday, we lost 2 good soldiers to a sudden sinkhole that swallowed a whole Sentinel walker. The day before that, a swarm of needle flies overwhelmed an entire squad, despite our flamers. But we continue. The Astra Militarum does not abandon a world lightly, especially not after we've bled for it. Command believes if it's just a splinter of a Tyranid hive, we can contain it. Maybe they're right. Or maybe this planet is doomed and we with it. In the end, it changes nothing about my day-to-day reality. I venture out each dawn with my camo cloak, my Luskun, and my determination, and I survive until the Emperor wills otherwise. Some nights, in the brief snatches of sleep I get, I dream of the jungles of my home, of simpler predators and challenges I overcame in my youth. For Pallas is worse. For Pallas is the grimmest battle I've fought in a lifetime of battles. But I haven't given up, and I won't. Not until they order an evacuation or I'm too dead to walk. I still carry the dog tags of the Sigma team in a pouch over my heart. We gave them a proper send-off. What passes for a funeral on the front lines. I vowed to them as I whispered a prayer to the God Emperor that I would see this world purged of the horror that claimed their lives. It's a foolish promise, perhaps, one scout against the might of the Great Devourer. And yet, as long as I draw breath, I intend to keep it. Dawn is breaking now on another day. The jungle's morning chorus begins, distant roars, clicking insect calls, the hum of deadly wings. A new day, a new set of dangers. My wound still aches where the lictor speared me, and every step in this humid air sends a throb of pain through the scar. But I welcome it. It reminds me I'm alive, that I fought yesterday, and I'm here to fight again today. Out here, on a death world at the galaxy's edge, life is measured one sunrise at a time. And as the light filters through the poisonous mist and tangled boughs, I tighten my grip on my last gun and forge ahead into the green darkness once more. I'm still breathing. On a death world, that's a victory.